Hey, everybody. In this episode, me and Benjamin do a deep dive on Other Side, the Bored Ape Yacht Club land that was sold this weekend by Yuga Labs. We talk about codas, we talk about artifacts, we talk about resources, and what we know now about the game. As usual, this content is sponsored by FTX. Sign up with the code thenifty.com/FTX or on the mobile app with the code thenifty. Thanks so much. In this video, we are doing a deep dive into the Other Side, which is the land that was sold this weekend by Yuga Labs, the holding company behind the Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT project, the best known project in the NFT space at this point. As usual, nothing in this video is financial advice. We're not financial advisors. The NFT space is incredibly risky, so make sure that you always do your own research. And as always, if you enjoy the content, hit the like button, smash the subscribe button, leave a comment. It really, really helps us out with the YouTube algorithm. I'm here with Benjamin. What a pleasure. What's going on, Ben? How you doing?
Yo, Pio, my man. It's great to be back. We put out an announcement earlier that I'm going to be doing some content with you guys, and I'm really excited for it. Really found a home here with Nifty Portal and just ready to dive in.
Hell yeah. Well, we couldn't be more excited. You're making my life a lot easier bringing on being a really qualified NFT market participant. So someone just said, please no more Coda talk. You clicked on the video. It's an Other Side deep dive. We're not going to shut up about the Other Side. Turn the video off if you don't want to hear about the Other Side. Okay. But, you know, we wanted to do a deep dive because, you know, Ben has been paying really close attention to the Other Side. He's been in, he's been out, he's back in, making some super savvy moves that I'm really excited to hear about. I've held since I bought in, and I actually landed a Coda and landed an artifact and a 4-star land. So all things considered, I got really lucky myself. And this has really been the story of the space. It was a huge liquidity event. It immediately set a record for trading volume. It surpassed Moonbirds in 24 hours, which is absolutely insane. And it's basically been the most sought after drop to happen since Moonbirds, since Akutars. Basically one of the biggest news stories of the year in the NFT space. Ben, how did you play this drop?
Yeah, so first of all, this was something that, you know, I was so excited about and so nervous at the same time. I was in Atlanta at Fan Controlled Football. And so we were at the stadium at the time the mint was going on. So I had to leave, go back to the hotel and try to use that hotel Wi-Fi, which, you know, it doesn't usually come in great. So I had my iPhone, I had my iPad both on the bed, trying to, you know, click as fast as I can. I ended up being able to mint 4 from the public launch, and I had another 7 from 3 Bored Ape Alpha Land. I had 4 Mutant Beta Land, and then the 4 public that I bought. Two of them I sold pre-reveal for 7 ETH. So I made 14 ETH from that. I think I spent about 10 ETH total on the first 4 public that I got. So I was up about 4 ETH with 2 of the public and then 7 of my other land that I claimed for free. And then I bought a Coda last night for 28.5, sold it overnight on Looks Rare for 33 WEETH, got some Looks Rare rewards there, which is awesome, free money there. And then I was able to buy back in, and I got I forget how many exactly it is, but it's like 4 or 5 different resources on one. I got that for 5.5. And then someone accepted a collection offer that I put in for 4 WEETH. And I got a pretty nice tier 2 there. So I'm sitting on 11 now, and all of them are paid off for except that last one I just bought for 4 WEETH. So I'm sitting pretty nice on these, and I expect to hold them. I might sell 1 or 2 to get my profit back, it's depending on what goes on. But yeah, I have 11 of these. I have a Mutant Coda land, and pretty happy with the way that it went just personally. But I know that the drop itself is such a shit show. So I really feel bad, you know, for the people who tried to get in that saved up ape and maybe didn't have the ETH and gas to pay, because, you know, 2 ETH for a single transaction, it's mind numbing. So, you know, I made out well, but I'm just a little upset with the way that it went. And I think Yuga, you know, gave themselves a little bit of a black eye.
Yeah, it wasn't the best showing, and the speculation on that, because if you look at the smart contract, they actually had put in some infrastructure in that, or some code, I should say, in that smart contract to do a proper Dutch auction, which is what the Akutar project had also, wanted to do. But obviously, there turned out to be a bug in that contract for the Akutar project that ended up in that massive loss of funds. And I think that the complexity of that Dutch auction structure being coded in was a little scary to the Yuga Labs folks. They ended up framing it as Dutch auctions suck, even though Mutant Ape Yacht Club was a Dutch auction that worked really well, but it was a stealth drop and no one really expected mutants to be available to the public. Everybody thought that it was just going to be an airdrop like the dogs. But yeah, that's basically the story there, is people think that they were going to do it. Then after they saw that mistake, they were kind of like, oh, wait, maybe we shouldn't get cute. And we should just, I guess, do an old-fashioned gas war. I paid 2.14 ETH in gas for two of my plots of land, plus what I had to pay for in the ape coin. And I was pretty nervous, quite frankly. I'm an experienced market participant, so I'm assuming if someone's not experienced, they definitely could have gotten smoked. But it sounds like Yuga Labs is refunding all gas if you did not successfully mint.
Yeah, I didn't like the comms that they put out. I thought it was a little tone deaf and out of touch, which doesn't seem like them. So it had more of a VC feel to it. I wouldn't be surprised if, Animoca played a part in the other side, messaging. But I would have preferred them to, if that really is the case, and I don't know for sure about like them actually wanting to do the real, AccuStyle Dutch auction and getting scared off. I would prefer them to, take the time to delay and figure it out and fix it than say, fuck Dutch auctions. So I didn't like the messaging there if that is the case personally, but we're looking to see if they recover. The VCs definitely are sticking their head in here, and I would like to see them put out a little bit more relatable announcement. And almost a post-mortem of like what happened, what went wrong, and if they say that they were planning to do a Dutch auction and didn't end up doing it, then I would say that those comms were pretty awful. If that wasn't the case, and they were just going with the typical like fuck it, Mutant Saturday kind of thing, and they were trying to go with that kind of marketing, and it just didn't work out, and they overestimated, then that would mean they overestimated or underestimated the amount of KYCs and how many wallets people had them in, which would be its own issue. So I don't think there really is, any kind of flowers to give them on the drop, but the reveal itself did go very well, which I was excited about that.
Oh, hell yeah. And someone said they were looking for an excuse to make Ape Chain, because they did hint at that after. That could be in there. But one thing you did say before we get into the technicals is they're definitely super, super corporate right now. Like, they are modern corporate. This is not like some, underground movement anymore. This is as corporate as it's as modern corporate as you're going to get. It's not old school, like technology resistant. I mean, it's literally in the most cutting edge technology space in the world. However, it's corporate.
Very web 2.5.
Okay, yeah, that's a good way to put it. 2.69.
2.69, web 2.69 for sure.
So what are you looking at? The thing that was announced is basically you want a coda. Like, we all knew you want a coda. That was like what was talked about. But besides that, there wasn't that much other, information given. There's you want a coda. There are artifacts. There's resources, but we don't really know the significance of that. And that's what a coda looks like right there, ladies and gentlemen. That little thing that's hanging out on the land. So Ben, you've been, doing some snooping. You know way more about this stuff than I do, and are better at the kind of collectible side than I am. I'm fascinated to know what you've turned up and what you think the case is.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, coders are definitely, the premium here. Even above Bored Ape Land, above Mutant Land, it getting the coda is what's special. And that's interesting because there is only 10,000 pieces of Bored Ape Land, similar to the way there's only 10,000 codas. So I'm very surprised that it isn't the BAYC land isn't operating at more of a premium. it's about half of what a COTA is right now. And I think that proximity to that center is going to be more valuable than people think. You know, I'm not saying go run out and buy the BAYC land, but if you're trying to decide between, you know, what to buy, I think looking at something like a MAYC land or BAYC land that's not too far above the floor is a decent start because of potential price separation and appreciation based on the total amount, especially when we think about there's going to be 200,000 total lands. And so that 10,000 of 200,000 is going to be really, really valuable. So I'm not going to be selling my BAYC land. And my mutant, my COTA being on mutant land is something that I'm really happy about. And you know, I'm going to lock that in for a while.
Yeah. So I have the mutant COTA land also. That's what we have on screen right now. So there's 10,000 COTAs. There's not going to be 20,000, right? It's just 10,000 COTAs, period. Right. That's it.
Mm-hmm. 10,000.
So, and are they going to airdrop existing landowners the new land?
I'm not sure. So in the deck, it said that they were going to be tradable and they're paired NFTs and also dynamic NFTs. So I've in the deck, you see that there's a COTA that has a tier 3. So I believe that you'll be able to evolve them in some way in the game by participating in the meta RPG. But also you have to think that them being able to pair and unpair from the land, I think, you know, makes it difficult to see an airdrop of the COTA itself happening. So that's what it says in the deck. It's a little bit confusing when you compare them to each other that a COTA can be paired and unpaired, but then there's also a potentially an airdrop COTA coming. I think what we may see is the ability to trade your COTA and put it on different lands. So I like the fact that there's artifacts and there's different things that have their own rarities. And, you know, that's something that we can get into a little bit. I was digging into because I don't think people are able to discern enough right now what artifacts and resources are more valuable than each other. And I think that's really where we should be looking to put our time into before any kind of white paper comes out explaining it. I think if you have any kind of experience in playing like RuneScape type games or any of those that have items that were tradable, it's going to be really important to get items that are rare that potentially cannot be made or found any other where in the ecosystem, or you know, certain resources may actually provide a faucet of some sorts to give you more of that particular resource. So those are something that I'm really, really looking into myself. And then also I'm trying to theorize on if land that has nothing on it at all is going to be valuable. I think that's really interesting. People are dumping like that first one you see there, that top left that has almost nothing on it.
Yeah, one resource.
People are dumping this, right? Like the fact that these are dynamic NFTs, what if you can evolve or do something or just be more creative and put your own things on there? And these are slots that are just not occupied yet, but in the future, you can move your artifacts and resources around to different lands. And so, you know, this is something that I might be wanting to place a small bet on by picking up one or two of those, just because they're usually the ones at the floor. And I just have some sneaky suspicion that the Yuga team, you know, besides Crazy Eyes in their collection, they don't want to have anything that when you look at floor, you're like, I don't want that. Right. So I think there's gotta be some kind of utility that we're not seeing yet in these slots. And if they are really tradable and movable, I think this is something that people are overlooking. So, you know, like a tier 4 or 5, that's bare, may be, you know, like a 4-trait Bored Ape or something like that, that people initially thought, well, that doesn't have any traits, I don't want it. It may be something that ends up being more valuable than we expect.
I mean, this one's literally on the floor with nothing. It's just mm-hmm. ready to rock, you know? So, I mean, yeah, what if, but the thing, so my thought on that is like, okay, sure, maybe yeah, I totally get it. However, what if you can just take the stuff off the land that does have stuff on it, and it turns out the stuff has value? So in that case, wouldn't the ones that do have stuff have more value?
Yeah, for sure. And that's why, you know, it's not commanding that premium yet. But if people were to say, well, you know, this tier five plane that has nothing on it, like they're not valuing it, but you get that. And let's just kind of backtrack a little bit. So if you look at the top of this card here, you'll see there's two dots. So that's a tier two. And with these being dynamic and the potential to upgrade or evolve, you know, maybe the tiers four and five are just, you know, a head start to that final form. So if you look at it in the fact that maybe you'll be able to evolve it in a more customizable way, if you start with the lower tiers, you can make it more what you want it to be, then I think that it's kind of like having, you know, a blank easel to work with, you know, when you have a portrait that you're trying to paint. So I think this is, you know, when you factor in the SDKs, the software development kits that they want partners with, I think it makes sense that having this plain, barren, lower tier land, that they would want to have some kind of way to provide value to it so that people just don't want to keep dumping them over and over.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense to me. So I have a question. What are your thoughts on the value of this land if you have just no intention of playing the game, right? Like, so I know that there's a lot of, you know, 40-year-old plus market participants that have three kids and have demanding jobs, but they bought Bored Apes. They think that the ecosystem's cool. In their spare time, they spend time on Discord. They have friends in the game now, in the NFT space now, because of that. You know, they're in the, and they received this land. But what if those guys are like, I don't want to play any video games. I have no interest in playing video games. Do you think that negatively impacts you as an owner?
No, I think what we're going to see, and Guy O'Siri alluded to this at one point, I think we're going to see them become rentable, where you can, you know, like the way that we've heard from NFT Worlds kind of thing, where you'll be able to rent out pieces of your land. So what I would be looking for, if you're not looking to participate, and this is something, Pio, I don't know if you want me to like kind of show something on Trait Sniper real quick on,
yeah, that's on fine. Something.
Okay, here. You want me to share my screen?
Sure.
All right, cool.
Getting Ben's screen, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. This screen makes a lot of money.
All right, let's see. Just let me know if it's good.
Yep. All right,
you can see. All right. So this is Trait Sniper. I'm going to go to Other Deed. So this something that I was looking at buying, and hopefully this loads. Okay, so I'm not going to give a full tutorial on this or anything, but I'm just going to do a couple things real quick. All right, so when we look at traits, you can see here there's traits count that's listed. So if you want to try and find what land has the most resources, you know, this is a great way to snipe. So 16 is going to be your top of the line premiums. There's only 71 of those. But if you look in the 15, 13, and 14 range, you'll find that there's a, hopefully this loads, you'll find that there's a lot of good buys there if you're looking for artifacts. And let's see, why is this not showing now? Let's try this again. All right, so 15. All right, so if you look here, when you look at these are the ones that are, you know, filled with these resources, right? Like these are the ones that are just, you know, when you think about where you'll be able to make your money from these lands, it's something like this, I think, to start. So my first purchase, the one I said I bought at 5.5 ETH, I got something like this that had 15 traits, whatever it was, which comes out to like, what is that? Eight here. So this is something that's rare. It's 6.2. There's a ton of resources on it. There's it's a two tier. And if you look here, there's a monkey barrel artifact. There's 500 of these total. So people, I think people are just, you know, there's so much price discovery right now that
people don't really know exactly what to look at and look for. Oh, sorry. I thought I was sharing my,
you're sharing.
My OpenSea also. No, I was just sharing the trait sniper and I went over to the OpenSea. All right. So you could see that.
Yep.
And you can see that. Okay, great. So this right here is 6.2. And when you look at the floor being 4, I think this, you know, if you're looking to make these buys, and yesterday these were a little cheaper. These were closer to 5, closer to floor. They're separating a little bit more. But like this is
where.
And
when you say these, you specifically mean ones with artifacts?
Yeah, the ones with the 15 traits here on Trait Sniper.
Okay.
So there's about 1,000 of them. And then if you look, it's 6.6 floor. If you go to 13 or 14, 14 is probably even a good example here. If we find one for 4.75, it's just not as rare. So if you look at this other one we were just checking out, see this monkey barrel artifact? There's only 500 of these total. And if we go back...
500 total out of 100,000 pieces of land is not many.
Right. Right. Exactly. Why is this not loading? Sorry. It's like OpenSea has been really slow the last like day or so.
I wonder why.
Oh, it looks like
spending so much money on it.
They actually just lowered the price to 5.8. So if you look here, they're not all. No, this isn't it. There it is. Okay. Sorry. They didn't lower the price. It's just OpenSea's glitching. So this monkey artifact is 0.52%. And then when you factor in the rest of these, you know, that's why I think having that extra one, finding a rare in there is something that you should be looking to snipe. And I'm not saying go buy this for 6.2 ETH, but if you're in the market, browse the ones with the most traits. I think those are going to be the most premium in the meantime that aren't codas and aren't in like prime real estate land, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so people have been buying the artifacts at 6 all day, but I actually have seen the floor on just having an artifact come down too. It seems like the artifacts aren't fetching that much of a premium over just, you know, ground floor.
Yeah. And I think that's price discovery. I think people need to understand what they're looking at. And until you see a white paper, you know, they're not really going to take, most people are not going to take the time to go through the traits. And so just for example, one of the things that I found looking through, there's been a total of 9 one-of-one artifacts revealed. So if you look through, I can do it if you want. So
sure.
I closed my screen before. I could just jump back on.
Yeah.
So if we look here, I'll just like scroll through as if I was going to be buying it. So artifact wise, and you're going to see OpenSea is just acting really glitchy. So if it takes a sec, just don't worry about it.
All good.
I've seen 9 one-of-one artifacts revealed so far. And I've seen, I think four one of fives here. Let's look. So these are all the one of ones that you see that have one of it. And then there's 3 one of fives. So the one of fives are all obelisks and different colors of them. So I think when you look at this, these are definitely going to command a premium. So if you're looking to place bids of WEETH, which is a good strategy, especially on Looks Rare, if you're looking to place bids and try to get something that's really, you know, rare, and doesn't have to be these one of fives, it's just an example. But if you want to get something that's rare and you don't want to have to pay that full amount, converting your ETH to WEETH and placing offers.
Oh, yeah.
Is your best chance at getting something at a discount. And if you're doing it on Looks Rare, every time that gets accepted, you're also earning Looks tokens for it. So that's something I've been trying to pay attention to lately to be a little bit more like financially prudent.
So you earn looks for buying on looks too. I didn't even know that. I've never bought on looks. I know that if you sell on looks, you earn tokens, but you also earn them for buying on looks?
Yeah, for trading.
Damn. Well, that's pretty damn good. Like if you're even if it's just like $50, you know, when you make a purchase, I mean, this is a big purchase. It might even be closer to like $75, right?
Yeah. I had two sales yesterday. I had one of 33 wheat and one of, I bought something for 4 wheat and I got about $1,000 in looks tokens.
Unreal. I mean, that's unreal. Especially if you end up flipping one of those or either of them, both of them for more money later and get looks again. That's like a great flywheel.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, and then you stake them and then it starts auto accumulating and auto compounding.
Yep.
And then it's just multiplying. Honestly, I've been leaving my look stake since day one and just keep putting more in there. But yeah, so there's a lot of things that I've started realizing about this. And, so there's the mega quotas.
Yep.
That we were talking about that are, IDs. And if you look here, they're, you can't see it yet. They're not all loaded in, but the last 100, I believe, of the collection. So it's like 9,900 up to
10K.
And then, another thing that they just started putting in, I don't know if you guys realize you can search by the traits here on OpenSea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So like if you wanted to type in coda.
And you can just grab all the codas.
Yeah, like it's a quick way to find out what kind of traits are in a collection, especially if it's something that you're trying to find keywords or something like that. It's really, really useful. So if you're looking for that jar of coda farts, instead of trying to find out, well, is that an artifact? Is that an Eastern resource? Is that a coda? You can just go in there, type in the trait, and it'll help it find it for you.
Yeah, I mean, look, so there's only 10,000 codas. 100 of them are apparently mega codas, which is nuts. Shout out our guy, Spotty Wi-Fi, that, of course,
Spotty. The guy that
he just always pulls rares. Of course, he pulled a rare mega coda. There's only 10,000 of them. And you have to think, like, my belief, my speculation is that we're going to get airdropped a Coda NFT, or you'll be able to pull the Coda off the land and it's a separate NFT and blah, blah, blah. So when you think about it, if you have Coda land right now and it also has resources, then you got the land, you got the Coda, you got the resources, you're probably going to get airdropped something else. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty big on holding a lot of this stuff. I've received 2 six-figure airdrops now in the past 2 months, and that had never happened to me before. Ben will tell you, yeah, that's been happening to Ben for a full year at this point now, but that hadn't happened to me before.
Yeah, it's been pretty fun.
And the way that gets created is by holding stuff. You don't get a six-figure airdrop unless it's like, you know, the tokens that we got for trading. I don't even remember what they're called. Well, looks was a good airdrop. It wasn't six figures for me. SOS was an airdrop that was pretty good, you know, stuff like that. But other than that, for NFT stuff, you really get rewarded for holding this stuff for a while. So I was really happy to hold this stuff. It sounds like Ben's interested in holding too, but he shuffled stuff around to recoup the investment, which is a lot smarter than what I did. And you still have a coda. So, you know, what are your thoughts on where we go from here? I mean, it looks like we're at 4. I don't think it's out of the question to go lower than 4. I feel like the low would have, like the bear, like the low would have to be 3 ETH. Do you have any price predictions for what happens here?
The thing is, most people who bought in either, you know, got into the mint and paid close to 3 or 4 ETH. For one of these, maybe 2 on the low end, depending on how much you got away with. But a lot of people paid around, like, you know, 3, and you're not trying to take losses. So there's going to be people who bought in around 6 and 7, especially pre-reveal, that didn't get a coda and they need liquidity. They're going to dump. So you're going to see that. But I don't think that the people who bought in that are looking for those returns and are sitting kind of more at the break-even level, I don't see them undercutting as much, especially when you consider that whenever Yuga decides to make their announcements, which they will, these things are going to pump and you're going to have another 100K land being given to deeds holders only, where people thought it was going to be a sale, and it's not going to be a sale. So,
because they don't need any more money, you know, like they don't need another primary sale this year.
Right. And it's not something that they did like after the mint went bad. It was baked into the website, but people didn't read the website. This is what I was finding out. And it was very difficult for them to, because when it was released, like, it wasn't fair to the market and to the consumer that what Yuga did when they launched the website right before, you know, the mint, because there's so much information on there to digest. You know, people were accepting these user agreements without looking at it, myself included. But, you know, I tried to read as much as I could of it. But the problem is, like, during the Mutants mint, I screwed myself over because I was reading the page so intently that I didn't realize it was already for sale. So by the time I got to the bottom after reading it, they were pretty much gone. So I missed the mint because I was trying to read the website before I bought anything. So yeah, I learned that with Yuga, just ape in and read later and have faith. But they put me in a position to be able to do so. You know, they dropped me a lot of ape coin, which, you know, I'm spending back into the ecosystem. So that's what I'm trying to do. And I just think that releasing all that information right before the mint is just kind of negligent. And I don't, you know, they've been doing that over and over, and it's something I don't agree with. As much as I love Yuga and everything that they've given me, I still have to call out when I think that something just, you know, doesn't sit right.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to be operating at the scale that they're operating at. A lot of people didn't like this mint. I totally understand. Yeah. They're refunding the gas. At the end of the day, the people that did get it and had to pay the gas, it kind of is what it is. I don't have like a bad taste in my mouth. I got a Coda. I got really lucky and I got a Coda on the mutant land. I think those are trading at like 30 plus ETH right now, at least somewhere around 30 ETH, which is fantastic. I feel like if I sell it, it doesn't make sense because I bought a mutant at under 3 ETH, right, on the primary sale. It went up to 9 or 10, went back down to 3, went to 20, went to 30, went to 40, you know, gave me ApeCoin. I forget how, like, however much, I think it was like 2000 ApeCoin, right? Yeah. Gave me the mutant. Yeah, the mutant land that I claimed had the Coda on it, you know? So it's like,
that's running hot, bro. That's running hot.
So there you go. Sure. Right. That's, and it's like, I got to now hold this Coda.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, who knows what. But, you know,
I would just say, only because of where the volume is. You know, the volume it with the Codas are around that, you know, 26 to 28 level. That's where the floor has been sustaining. Otherwise, I would say, like, you know, if you saw it dropping and people not picking it up, that would be a good time to exit and potentially try to buy back in later. So, with the volume being there, it makes it okay to do, but just, you know, keep an eye on that. And, I don't know if you wanted to pivot to something, but there was something here that I picked up on.
Sure.
That, is kind of alpha, I think. I saw someone say that they got a pet artifact.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really interesting. So I started looking into it. And one of the ones that I found is a called a raven. Oh no, sorry. This is a lapis here. There's a raven and a lapis. And I'll just show you what that lapis was. So it's like, it looks like a dolphin of some sorts or something like that. It's so, there's a few that look like the, you know, these are live beings, not just like a scroll or something. So I think these are really interesting to pay attention to. And I haven't compiled like a full list or anything like that, but these are two that I definitely noticed are Raven and Lapis. I got a Lapis in one of mine and I was like, it's like, what is this? This looks so different. And I think that, you know, when we look at the Yuga deck, see, this is not even responding. When we look at the Yuga deck, it said that there are in-game characters on the land. And I think everybody assumed that's just Codas, but I think that, you know, there's a reasonable expectation that these pets could potentially be, man, OpenSea is just killing me right now. There we go.
Someone said 280 ETH CODA sale just now.
Ooh,
insane.
Shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, let's see. Can I zoom in here? Okay. So this is a raven, and it looks like this like ghostly bird figure. And I wouldn't be surprised if these ended up being in-game characters that are usable in like a playable way. So that's just something that I'm kind of speculating on. But, you know, I'd definitely be interested to hear other people's thoughts on it.
Yeah. And also there's sheep, I think, right? Wasn't on our show last night. Michaela had a sheep and she priced it, I think, at 50, right?
Yep.
So, you know, we'll see if it sells. But yeah, I mean, look, there's so many unknowns, but this is what makes this game fun. And this part was definitely intentional by Yuga, where they basically said, CODA good, right? We know the CODA is good. And we don't know, and we know like artifacts and resources are here, but now it's up for people in the market to price them. And anybody that had a Bored Ape or a Mutant Ape automatically wins because they got free claims to the most valuable land.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's definitely differences in the CODAs too. So not just like the mega CODA and the regular CODA, I guess. I don't know what you would call it, maybe a floor CODA, but there's CODAs that have weapons. So not all of them have weapons. So if we look at the API here, I have this one loaded up. So this is number 7627. They have a weapon, a sword of constant sorrow. So if we look at this, these ones have a sword. And I think the CODAs that have the weapons are going to be more valuable than the floor CODAs in between them and the megas.
Okay. That's good to know. I don't know. And how can you tell if it has a weapon?
Well, they're all pretty much this like thing on its back, right? Like it's accessory on its back. I even saw one that was a candy cane. But it is a weapon. So what you can do is you can look in the API by the CODA ID. So this is api.otherside.xyz/codas/4 digits or 5 digits, I guess, if you do 10,000. Let's see if that works.
Yeah, and I just looked, and mine doesn't have a weapon. So now I feel like I was gypped, even though I have a CODA.
Yeah, you're screwed, man. I think you should just bow out of NFTs. For you, getting a CODA, no weapon. this seems to be the most amount of traits, I think, that a CODA has, 5. So you can view them also on the Explorer here. So this is mine that I had loaded up, but you could see there's metadata beneath this. So when you're exploring the lands and you see a CODA, you can actually look to see here and not through the API if you don't want to do that.
I mean, this whole thing is gnarly. We didn't even talk about the SDK. That means software development kit, right? The SDK. Yeah. And how, I guess, you're going to almost be, yeah, it's your world to build. You're incentivized to participate and build it up. This is like play-to-earn gaming. This is like Axie Infinity and, you know, like Kix's game, Crypto Raiders, things like that. Although that space isn't doing that well, clearly Yuga Labs believes that there is a way to do it in a solid way. And I mean, if you're going to bet on somebody, why not bet on them? But the idea of like leasing our land out, the idea of mining resources off the land and being able to stake things into the land and, you know, location fetching a premium, all these things are pretty exciting when you think about it. And the bottom line is like a lot of like, we all act like we're only passing money amongst each other. We're just exchanging with each other. But there really are a lot of new market participants coming in every day. And Bored Ape Yacht Club is the kind of, you know, the big name in the industry. And to get into this, it's still 4 ETH. It's not cheap. Like you have to deploy 12K. Right. So there might be people coming into the market right now and their goal is to just flip up to some floor land, you know? So this stuff really could be something. A year from now, people in the space hate it when I bring up time horizons longer than like a week. But the bottom line is like, Ben, you've been holding a Bored Ape for over a year. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, I missed it yesterday. Yesterday was officially the 365th day. So 1 year was yesterday that I minted and held Johnny Allcoin.
There you go. And did you buy your other apes on the secondary or?
Yeah, I overall had about 8 apes, I think. And so I ended up with 4 that I held and sold my last one for 80 ETH in December. Oh no, January, I believe.
Yeah. And real quick, I mean, that's incredible. So you've been holding for so long, you've taken massive profits, no matter what, you held long enough to realize huge gains. Cause there's people that bought and that minted and sold for like 4 ETH. And they were like, that was the best thing ever. You know, like the fact that they did that, you know, so it's a different game. I want to call out a comment. Someone said, anyone who thinks people are going to play this game over Fortnite, Apex, COD, or any other major gaming IP is smoking crack. So I understand why you're saying that, mm-hmm. but you know people play RuneScape still, right? They've been playing RuneScape since I was 10 years old, and I'm 32 years old now. So at the end of the day, that's pretty crazy. And then, you know, you're talking about Fortnite and COD. Those are just different games. This is like MapleStory and RuneScape. And that's just a totally different genre of game.
Yeah. And I actually agree with Justin. I think that when you compare this game to those games in terms of an entertainment value game, you know, right now, the way that we see this, the adoption is not going to be there in terms of a person per hour kind of metric. But I think what you're going to see is a comparison to Minecraft would be better. So when you look at the Minecraft universe, and he left that out there. So I would say that, Justin, I agree with you on everything that you mentioned, but I would add in that Minecraft is something that people spend a lot of time on, especially the younger generation who understands this more. So, the people growing up playing that, who are going to learn that they can play a better looking version and earn money and rewards and communicate with a lot more people, because what they're trying to do is like revolutionary technology. If you look at what they posted on the website, which we can actually look at here, but what they're trying to do is going to be a lot better than that Minecraft universe and that blocky style, sandbox. So I agree with you on those games. But when you look at the amount of people that play a Minecraft style game, that's where the comparison should be. And when we look at, the game changing tech that they're planning. So they say that 10,000 people interacting simultaneously in a single location, which is something that's not done. The typical online game worlds can handle around 10,000 operations per second. Other side will be able to handle more than 500 million operations per second, which will power new gameplay and interactions never before possible at an unprecedented scale. So if they're just blowing smoke up our ass, then, down the line, we're going to figure it out. But for now, I think once people look at and realize what they're attempting, it's a lot different than, a Metroverse style piece of land.
Yeah. Well, obviously compared to like Metroverse. Yeah, totally. I mean, people don't read, and people are insanely short-sighted. I was talking about this on the show earlier, is like how short-sighted people are in this space, even though there's so much data that shows that being not short-sighted, like actually having foresight, is the thing that pays off. Look at the people that bought CryptoPunks at any time before 2020, right? That's like, as good of an investment as Bored Ape. You just had to wait a little bit or a lot of bit longer. I also wanted to call out, someone tried to dunk on me in the chat saying, what happened to that NFT project Akutars that you shilled? The floor is like almost $5,000. How many you got, buddy? Nice dunk. Ben's just like, what am I a part of right now? Ben, any other thoughts that you'd want to share about the current state of affairs with the other side land and what you think people should be able to expect?
Yeah, I think it's reasonable to be a little negative on them right now, especially how short-sighted a lot of us tend to be. Especially when things move so fast, even me, I spend a lot of time, I honestly never thought I would FUD them. And I was kind of FUDing them during and after the drop, just because of how things went. And so I think it's reasonable to have a little bit of a negative, you know, perception about Yuga and the land in general. But the volume is unprecedented. It's blown away Moonbirds, which we were looking at as something that was just incredible volume, you know. Yeah. And so the fact that this is 172, which I think is about 30K more ETH now than Moonbirds. I shouldn't even try to do OpenSea. It just doesn't even load for me anymore. I think when you look at the amount of volume, it's so sustainable for something that is supposed to be the top tier. So if this gets down to 3 ETH, I wouldn't be surprised just from people undercutting. But this is the same thing that happened with Mutants. Mutants came out, you know, 3 ETH, got FUDded, and it was a great investment, and it stayed stagnant for a while. And Yuga, I don't think they're going to lose that top spot. And I really hope that there is a type of project that could give them a run for it. I want someone to be able to make Yuga have to compete even more. And if someone's able to take over that top spot, that's going to be great for the space. I really believe that. So, you know, I'm happy to be a Bored Ape holder, Yuga holder, and I'll continue to support them. But I think that this is something that you need to really pay attention to the traits. You really need to think about what Yuga might have in mind before they release what they actually do have in mind. And that's a good way to place speculative bets on the future of, you know, Yuga Labs and NFTs in general, because that's where the volume is.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And just remember that, like, these guys have proven that they understand how to drive value to this stuff, that they've rewarded people that wait. And look, when I read these comments on this video right now, it's just right on brand with the NFT space, right on brand. And the best part is, in 3 months, if there's just like a monster announcement and a huge cook, or if everything works out in 6 months, it's not like people then come out of the woodwork and say, hey, I totally FUDded the project and had completely wrong opinions 6 months ago. No one like comes out and proactively owns up to it. So anyone's allowed to give a bad take at any time. So just keep that in mind when you're putting your takes out. Like, you know, okay, fine, you're not going to get held accountable. It's still saying something that doesn't age well. I'm not betting against Bored Ape Yacht Club. I'm not betting against Yuga Labs. There's only 10,000 CODAs. There's 20,000 mutants. There's only 10,000 CODAs. So, you know, Just putting it out there. Everyone, make sure you follow Ben on Twitter. Is it at OXBenjamin?
XBenjaminX.
XBenjaminX on Twitter. We'll make sure to put that on screen for you for the whole next show that he's on. And yeah, make sure that you hit the like button, smash the subscribe button. Sign up for FTX, our sponsor, thenifty.com/FTX. Or on the mobile app with the code THENIFTY. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks for joining us, Ben.
Thanks for having me, man. Good to be here.
Absolutely.